we've actually got an old-fashioned recorder, so it's one I put up next to the computer, so rather than recording the actual video and everything.
Thanks, Jason. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Amy Herman. I'm going to be your facilitator for today. You got your agendas in advance, and so I imagine you're anticipating some presentations today from Kaiser and Providence. And before we get going, we'll do attendance and then approve minutes from the last meeting as well. So welcome, everyone. And Jason, go ahead and do attendance.
All right. Sounds great. So so far, it looks like we've got all right, I'll just read it off. I got an email from Nancy Artman. She's not going to be with us today. Rochelle Bonzi, I don't see you. So if I call off your name and you're actually here, please let me know. Rochelle Bonzi is absent. Chris Dannenbring is currently absent. Christy Durham is here. Trish Elmer is currently absent. Lauren Haney is here. Jennifer Harvey is here. Jennifer Hughes is here. Austin Robinson is here. Dina Medican is here. Greta Nickerson is here. Gretchen Pacheco let us know earlier that she wouldn't be here. Eric Serra is absent. Bob Skinner is absent. David Sohm is absent. Patrick Williams, by the way, a new member representing the non-represented group, is here. And Fred Jungbluth is currently absent. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So not quite enough for a quorum, so we can't approve minutes at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Then we'll go ahead and get started with the program for today. And Kaiser, you're first on the agenda, so I'll let you introduce yourselves and go ahead and kick off the presentation.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting us. My name is Lillian Belain. I'm your Kaiser Permanente Executive Account Manager. While I get my screen shared, we'll go around the room and do a brief introduction, and I'll kick it over to Jennifer Stacey.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Stacey. I am the Senior Director over Strategic Accounts, so I work with Lillian and your account team to take care of medical and any dental. Thanks for having us today. You see your notes, Lillian. There you go.
Is that better? Okay, great. Dr. Davino, would you like to go next? We can't hear you if you're talking. Okay. Dr. Davino, you might want to test your audio. Key, would you like to go next?
Thank you. Yeah, so Key Tai, Kaiser Permanente Dental Account Manager, and working very closely with Lillian and team to support all dental aspect, and happy to be here today.
And I'm back up. I'm Dr. Carrie Davino. I'm the Physician Ambassador, and I'm Medical Director of our Leave of Absence Medical Review Team. I've been with Kaiser Permanente for 19 years, and I'm honored to present for the second year to all of you at Clackamas County.
Great. Jen Saunders?
Hi there. I'm Jen Saunders, and I am the Associate Account Manager assisting Lillian with the book with the Clackamas County. Pleased to meet you.
Great. Thanks. I think we covered everyone on the KP team. Did I miss anyone? All right. Well, good afternoon again. Thank you so much for inviting us to your meeting. Today we will, let me switch slides. On the agenda today, we will review what's new in 2022. We'll go through member resources. Some of that will be a reminder of things that we've already covered in the past. We will have a discussion about how we're supporting mental health. Briefly touch about the clinical analytic reports as well as the medical claims. And then we will have Key discuss some program enhancements in the dental space. And then finally leave you with a couple handful of recommendations we can partner together in this year ahead. If you have questions, you can either put them in the chat, we'll be monitoring that, or we will save some time at the end for questions as well. So first, we'll go through what's new in 2022. The initiatives you see here on the screen, some have already been rolled out and some are coming. So the first one is the Get Care Now, which is our on-demand video and phone visits with the clinician. This is our 24-hour urgent care service with no appointment needed. So that's a new enhancement, as well as chat with the clinician, which is now offered in e-visit form. So if a member completes an e-visit but their symptoms warrant additional contact with the clinician, they'll be referred in and speak to a clinician about their next steps for care. Then we have some increased digital enhancements around how we're engaging with members before their appointment. We're now giving them a 48-hour advance digital reminder, as well as any care gaps that may be present while they're in the clinic, reminding them to schedule or go in for their flu shot. And then post-appointment, we're also reminding them to either pick up their prescription or other reminders that way. So we're trying to increase our communication digitally with our members. And then finally, you'll see, or not finally here, outpatient pharmacy language translation. We now offer prescription labels and drug information sheets in 15 languages, and this will help further reduce the barriers and reduce the dosing errors. Members can elect their preferred language. The Ginger app we will discuss on the next slide, but that's an enhancement coming in the summer. And then the Late Sequelae Clinic is launched as a new virtual clinic to support our members who experience prolonged symptoms of COVID-19. According to the CDC, 10 to 30% of COVID patients will experience prolonged symptoms, which may vary from person to person. The clinic's medical team reviews hundreds of COVID-19 cases and helps develop plans to alleviate the symptoms and provide the treatment to those members. We have a really interesting dental technology update to share today, and Key will talk more about that further in the dental section. So stay tuned. Here we are going to review some wellness resources for members that are available at no additional cost. The first one here is ClassPass. So ClassPass is an app that we discussed last year in this session, but you may have seen member information roll out as well. This app and this program offers reduced rates on live stream and in-person fitness classes, such as Pilates, dance, yoga, and strength training from top fitness studios, which includes over 4,000 on-demand fitness classes. And then just below that, you'll see a note about the Choose Healthy program. This allows Kaiser Permanente members to sign up for the Active and Fit Direct national membership, and they can visit any of the 11,000 participating fitness centers in the nation. So this includes reduced rates for fitness classes or gym memberships, and discounts on activity trackers, workout apparel, and exercise equipment. In the middle of the slide, you'll see the Calm app. This is a guided meditation tool to help lower stress, reduce anxiety, and improve sleep quality. The premium subscription is available at no cost to members. And then on the right side, you see the MyStrength app. This is a resource to increase emotional resilience with an app-based wellness tool. It's safe and confidential, and it's focused on improving awareness and changing behaviors. Members can create a personalized routine that includes tailored self-care programs for managing depression, stress, anxiety, avoiding burnout, and more. The daily health trackers and coping tools and meditation activities help the member to monitor their progress toward their health goals. And coming soon in the summer, we expect to roll out the Ginger app to our adult members. This offers a confidential emotional support coaching through text-based chat. It's going to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Ginger coaches are available to deal with in-the-moment distress, offer grief support, relational challenges, behavioral addictions, and help the member with what they may be struggling with. emotional support coaching can play an important role in preventing more serious mental health conditions from developing. So we look forward to offering that resource at no additional cost to members, and that will roll out at the end of the second quarter. Now I'll pass it over to Dr. DeVino to discuss our mental health supports.
Okay, let's pause here for a moment. Thank you, Lillian. Kaiser Permanente offers a full range of clinical and support services for teens, children, adults, and families dealing with emotional and mental health problems, as well as substance use. All of Kaiser Permanente's mental health clinics are open access, which means an appointment that can be made without a referral from the member's primary care physician. I think it's important to point out the effects of COVID-19 on mental health issues, which poses new challenges to employee mental health. So with all of the stress, the uncertainty, fear, and anxiety that's still ongoing because of the pandemic, this has intensified the mental health crisis in our country, and recent statistics show that 81% of American workers experienced mental health issues during the pandemic, with one in four significantly impacted. But if there is a silver lining, it would be the fact that mental health stigma is decreasing, and as employers embrace treatment as a valuable investment, people do get better. And until recently, mental health stigma caused employees to avoid or delay treatment by up to 8 to 10 years from the onset of symptoms. And so I'm really happy to see that this is changing. We know now that when employers address stigma in the workforce, employees are more likely to be aware of the valuable resources available. They're more likely to start treatment sooner and to recover more quickly. So when mental health stigma goes down, loyalty and engagement go up. And I commend Clackamas County for your dedication and commitment to mental health in your workforce. We've been working tirelessly on expanding and strengthening our mental health services. And I'll walk you through some of those changes in the next slide, please. So the very nature of our system allows us to offer highly coordinated and comprehensive care. We offer a full spectrum of mental health and addiction care all in one ecosystem. So what does this mean? It's a system that's connected, this integrated system, and it enables us to take a holistic approach to mental health and addiction medicine. It's designed to make services more easily accessible, to meet your employees where they are, right? Care can be delivered seamlessly across locations and specialties, and no matter what your employees' needs might be, support is always within reach. Care can be accessed in several ways, as we can see here on the screen. Self-care and wellness resources are available, as Lillian mentioned, at no charge to our members. Then there's care through primary care, where the patient's primary care physician provides screenings for depression and substance use at every visit. And if it's appropriate, the primary care physician can then refer a patient to a behavioral health consultant during that same appointment within the same facility. Now, once that patient has engaged with the behavioral health consultant, then they're triaged to determine what type of care might be needed additionally. And so if the patient is determined to be low risk, this would be considered routine. And then following the NCQA standard, we follow 14 days time to service. And if it's determined to be moderate risk or urgent, we follow the 2 days time to service. And then, of course, if it's high risk or emergent, this is immediate assessment and next steps are determined quickly. Care can also be accessed through specialty care directly through mental health and addiction medicine, where the same assessment takes place. The appointments are made based on whether the situation is determined to be routine or urgent, and then, if necessary, high-risk patients are referred to the appropriate services. And then patients can also access care through the emergency department care teams, where, again, that same screening process takes place. The patient is stabilized, and safety plans are initiated. That might include continued and follow-up care. And we understand that mental health and addiction care isn't a one-size-fits-all. And so at Kaiser Permanente, treatment is tailored to the person's individual needs and goals. And so as you can see here on the right in that circle diagram, the patient is in the center of a whole array of choices. Our care teams are highly skilled and we're deeply experienced. And we're supported by tools and technologies that help us deliver even better care. And on the far right of that circle, telehealth care options have enabled us to expand access and improve convenience. And to that end, I'll share with you what we're doing to mitigate access to mental health services. This includes adding many new faces to our clinical care team in 2022 that I'm really excited about. These additional staff are part of a multi-year strategy to improve access for specialty mental health, for primary care, behavioral health, and addiction medicine. And these additions will help support staffing for our child and family therapy case management program to a general therapy that will be both hybrid and virtual, group therapy, and co-occurring therapy, behavioral health consultants, and then psychiatry. So overall, our numbers include approximately 50 full-time therapists in 2022 to increase that internal access to the behavioral health consultants that I just spoke of. And then we have 9 open psychiatry positions, one of which was already filled for this year, and we're continuing to actively recruit for the other 8 positions. And then we continue to offer virtual mental health support through the resources, such as the Calm Map and Ginger that Lillian described. So this is a very high level of what we're doing in mental health and psychiatry and addiction medicine. We still have a long way to go, but our plans are in place. They're proactive rather than being reactive. And they include implementation of a feedback-informed care model that I'm also excited about. I can't get into that now, but essentially it's using the patient's voice that's at the center of care planning. Next. So at Kaiser Permanente, we're committed to supporting our youth and our young adults. And these are 2 special programs that we offer. Find Your Words. This is our public health awareness effort to normalize talking about mental health. Our website is great. If you haven't been to it, I highly recommend you take a look. There's resources to help anyone learn about how to start a conversation. It connects you to helpful tools and online communities that can assist in finding support for anyone who visits the site, including young children and teenagers. There's also information on how to build resilience and reduce stress. There's screening tools to inform further conversations about diagnosis and treatment. And there's also really interesting ways of sharing personal stories and videos and artwork with others that visit the site. And then in May of 2020, Kaiser Permanente launched our Presence of Mind initiative in partnership with the American Professional Esports Organization, Cloud9. This initiative, it addresses mental health and wellness within the gaming community. It demonstrates how we're taking another significant step to improve mental health and wellness through our unique approach that meets youth and young adults where they're spending a lot of their time, and that's in gaming. So there's so much more to discuss on mental health. But in the interest of time, I'll end here. And then if you feel that you'd like to discuss more or you'd benefit from additional information later, we can certainly arrange that or schedule that. And I'll turn it back over to you, Lillian.
Great. Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Sounds good. All right, so in this section, we are going to review the General County's 2021 annual medical trends and review clinical analytics. I'll ask Dr. DeVino to jump in here after a couple slides, and we'll go through some of the details and trends that we saw in the last year. So each year, we do review the overall makeup of your group, and we provide some benchmark data compared to both our regional and industry averages based on the government SIC code. So the enrollment in your group medical plan has remained stable and results in similar results from last year. The average age for your subscriber age is slightly higher than both our regional, or just our regional, but not our industry average. We saw that the plan enrollment experiences a slightly higher than average family size compared to both regional and industry averages. And then year over year, we see very positive results with around 93% of employees remaining on the KP coverage. In the next slide here, we'll look at how your members are engaging with their care teams. And this would include things such as sending emails and utilizing the KP.org tools. So employees who are actively engaged in managing their health can miss less work and have better health outcomes when they get sick. So members would feel supported by their care team and empowered to ask questions. Really at any time of day, they can email us. The results from last year are a good, powerful reflection, actually, of how members are connecting and engaging with the health plan. While most of the activities you can see show an increase in usage, like viewing lab results and sending the email messages, I did notice that the online prescription refills and mail order had decreased. And so this may provide an opportunity to remind members that they have this ability at their fingertips. And so not only does ordering prescription online save time and a trip in, but it also ordering through mail order can save an additional copay. So members would receive 3 months supply for only two copays. Next I'll turn it over to Dr. DeVino to discuss our clinical analytic reports.
Okay. So telehealth is built into our system of integrated care. We've had a solid telehealth infrastructure in place for well over 10 years, which is why we were so successful at pivoting from the start of the pandemic while other institutions struggled. For us, this was natural. At Kaiser Permanente, telehealth is an extension of our integrated care delivery system. It's not an add-on or an extra. So our members get that same high-quality care that they'd get if they went in person to any one of our clinics. And as you can see here, video visits have taken a high priority position throughout 2021, much higher than telephone visits. Telehealth is here to stay, and it allows us to provide care where access may have seemed unattainable to many of our members for various reasons. Next slide. So here we're looking at your lifestyle risk overview, and this report provides information on measures that we can actually influence by implementing even workforce wellness and encouraging engagement. This report is comparing the current measurement period of Q4 2021 against your scores from Q4 2019. And for these percentages, let's keep in mind that a lower percentage year over year is better. So for adult weight, childhood weight, adult exercise, and blood pressure, these four measures increased by just a few percentage points from the previous year. But the good news is that they're all either within range, on par with, or slightly lower than the regional and industry averages. For total cholesterol and smoking rates, you remain virtually unchanged with a slightly higher total cholesterol as compared to the two benchmarks. And for smoking, you're lower than the regional. For prediabetes, you had a 2.2% reduction from the previous year, and that's great to see. And you're below both benchmarks. So I want to go through some of these point for point. So for the adult weight, for the childhood weight and adult exercise, we know we have some work to do. But I do want to have a quick word on exercise. Kaiser Permanente considers exercise a vital sign, which means that we ask about your activity at every visit. We're actually one of the first in the country to include exercise as the vital sign in the medical record. And this has been reinforced by our own data that shows that simply asking a patient about their exercise has been associated with weight loss. Now, I understand the challenges of providing a dedicated space for exercise, but we could consider focusing on easy starts, like counting steps. This could be that low-hanging fruit to get people in the habit of recognizing the health benefits of moving more by documenting their daily steps, and this would be a great start. I want to now turn our attention to blood pressure. So this is for patients with a blood pressure in the undesirable range of greater than 140 over 90. At 15.1%, this is a 4.1% increase, leaving you on par with regional, but above the industry. With this increase, I see that this is an opportunity to discuss even incremental steps that could influence blood pressure to get that number to start trending down. We can discuss things later on like stress reduction, as well as healthy eating and exercise as potential ways to decrease this undesirable range. And I bring this up because blood pressure is another vital sign, and just because blood pressure could be potentially a precursor to the development of chronic conditions, which can be costly, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. And so this is why we measure blood pressure at every visit and at almost every touch point, even through at dental. And now for smoking rates, at 9.8%, this is virtually unchanged, and you're regional benchmark, and I'd like to celebrate that. Still, though, I'm all about smoking cessation, so any chance that I get, I'd like to promote our smoking cessation program, which I'll get into in a little bit. If there's anything that we can do to even just plant the seed, plant the bastion of the benefits of quitting, I'd love to see that happen to get this number to start trending downward. Now, even if we strive to incrementally drop these numbers year over year, we, in turn, reduce risks of coronary artery disease, respiratory diseases, and cancer. Next slide. So with respect to prevention, this is an essential part of rated care delivery. Immunizations prevent diseases, and screening provides early detection at a time when cancers are more easily treatable and in a less costly way. And so for these measures, keep in mind that a higher percentage year over year is better. So for flu immunization rates for Q4 2021, at 36.5%, you are 5.9 percentage points below the last measurement period, but you're still above regional and on par with industry. Now, we can go into great detail discussing the differences between the previous measurement period, and we can say it's because of the pandemic, but I know, and it probably is, and I know, though, that we have a solid partnership with you regarding flu vaccine, so I'm not worried about this number. I'm confident that we're going to get this back up. The next measurements have a different time stamp than flu, so we're looking at Q3 year over year. For childhood immunization rates, you have a significant increase in Q2 in this quarter at 81.3%, and you're well above both benchmarks. This is great. For breast cancer screening at 76.4%, while this is really a respectable percentage, you had a 4% decrease, and so this is something that we can keep our eye on and talk about a little bit later. For cervical cancer screening at 80.9%, although this is a 8.9% decrease, you're still above the regional benchmark, and again, we'll put this on our radar to talk about. For colorectal cancer screening at 71.8%, this really is a high percentage based on my review of other employer groups. But you did see a little dip here by 2.8%, and you're still above the regional, but a little bit now below the industry benchmarks. And I'll just pause here just for a moment so I can say a few words about our colorectal cancer screening, because this really is the low-hanging fruit where we could make a quick difference in boosting these numbers up. Our goal is to get members to complete an annual fecal immunochemical test or a FIT test whenever that's appropriate. So again, it's the low-hanging fruit where we would promote that easy home test kit, the FIT kit. In three easy steps, the person collects the sample in the privacy of their home, they seal the container, and they drop it in the mail. I just did mine a couple of weeks ago, and I was shocked to see that in 2 days my results were reported on kp.org. Great test, and it was negative, by the way. Next slide. These are a deeper dive or a four-year look back to see if there's any trends for diabetes, blood pressure, and tobacco use. So for diabetes screening, you've been trending downward year over year. And for pre-diabetes test results, you've also been trending downward year over year, which is great. So the goal here would be to increase the screening rate while keeping that prediabetes test results to trend down. For blood pressure in the undesirable range, you've been trending upward year over year, while the desirable range is trending downward. I mentioned already a few potential ways we can consider to reverse this, like stress reduction, healthy eating and exercise. For tobacco use, you've been in a steady state for the past 4 years, and of the percentage of members, it's not here on the screen, but of the percentage of members who were seen in this measurement period that responded to the question of tobacco use, 94.4% or 135 members reported smoking. So when you think about the effects of smoking on raising a person's cholesterol, because it does, and causing kidney disease, because it does, it's really alarming to know that cholesterol medications can cost about $150,000 per year. Dialysis for kidney disease can cost over $75,000 per year, while a smoking cessation program costs $2,000 per year. So we have online programs, we have group programs and wellness coaching. Our in-person classes help members to break free from nicotine addiction in a supportive group environment. And we also offer medications using FDA-approved tobacco cessation medications. And these quit rates using medications have a 68% success rate. For those, the member can call their physician or even a wellness coach to start discussing how they might get a prescription for this medication. Next slide. So I think it's well understood how Kaiser Permanente manages chronic conditions, in that through our provision of integrated care, we treat the whole person rather than one organ system at a time. So members with chronic conditions are automatically enrolled in our programs, unlike other health systems who might be using third-party external vendors. For us, everything is under one roof through one medical record. And here we're looking at prevalence of high-impact chronic conditions. And knowing the prevalence of chronic conditions in your workforce will help you to focus on specific health challenges of your employees. So for diabetes prevalence, your percentage at 3.7% has been on a very slight upward trend year over year, but you're still below both benchmarks. For depression, at 6%, you've been trending downward from 2019 and unchanged from the previous year, which puts you on par with regional and above industry. Now, I've spent a fair amount of time talking about what we've been doing to grow our mental health program, so I won't belabor that anymore. But again, if you have questions about that later, we can further discuss. Now, for asthma, coronary artery disease, and heart failure, these percentages are typically what we see, a low prevalence or zero prevalence. And for this group, for asthma, you're at 2%, and for coronary artery disease and heart failure, you're at 0.1% and 0.2% respectively. So while these regional and industrial benchmarks might seem low to begin with, and your prevalence percentages are quite low, we still need to keep in mind that while we have a tendency to think that while these conditions occur in low percentages, that they might be okay, it's really important to remember here that these are the three conditions that are known to drive a significant percentage of healthcare costs, even at very low prevalence recordings. And so this is why we track and we monitor and we offer lots of supporting programs around these and other chronic conditions to keep those numbers low. So now for the next two measurements, I do want to mention that for hypertension and obesity, these numbers may not match the numbers we saw in the lifestyle risk report. Remember, we saw an increase in the incidence of obesity and high blood pressure. A lower prevalence here can be due to a lot of different factors. First of all, we're on two different timestamps. The health lifestyle risk report runs Q4 to Q4, and this runs from Q3 to Q3 year over year. So we're not comparing apples to apples anyway. So just to be thorough, incidence is the rate of new cases of a disease occurring in a specific population. over a particular point in time, where prevalence here is the proportion of patients who have a chronic condition at a particular point in time. So for hypertension, for this measurement year at 4%, for prevalence, this is a decrease from the previous measurement period, but you're above both the regional and industry averages, so I would flag this. For obesity, again, this is a decrease year over year, and at 35.4% for prevalence, you're below the regional and industry averages. Next slide. This is just a reminder here that patients with chronic conditions are automatically enrolled into our disease management programs, as I had mentioned earlier, and our goal is to reduce risk by prevention and early intervention. Our members are enrolled into these programs through a variety of ways, but a really important way is through best practice alerts within our medical record, and that signals when patients might have risk factors. And then these alerts and these built-in decision supports guide our clinicians toward enrollment. And because of our sophisticated medical record, this report is able to alert us whether the patient is receiving their preventive care and filling prescriptions. And here we're looking at diabetes and depression. So for diabetes eye exams, at 72.3%, you're above the both benchmarks. For blood sugar control at 66.2%, this is a bit below both benchmarks. And for diabetics with good blood pressure control at 61.5%, you're on par with regional and just below industry. For depression, and this is effective acute phase treatment for where patients are staying on their antidepressant medication for 12 weeks, at 73.9%, you're a bit below both benchmarks. But for effective continuation-based treatment, and this is patients that are staying on their antidepressant medication for 6 months, you're at 63% and on par with the regional and above industry. Next slide. So carrying on with the same intent here, we're looking at asthma medication ratios, coronary artery disease and the use of beta blockers, and adequate control of hypertension. Noteworthy on this slide is the asthma medication ratio, and at 55.9%, you're a bit below both benchmarks, and we could be doing better with better control on blood pressure as well. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Lillian.
Thank you, Dr. DeVino. That was really informative information, and I'm really glad that we were able to do that overview from 2021 data. If you have questions later after this meeting, if we don't have time to address everyone today with our limited time, please let me know. We're happy to dive into more details. So in this next section here, we'll review the claims utilization from last year, and we'll do an overview by category. On this first slide here, we're going to look overall. Your claims data in 2021 is represented in the green bar on the graph, and then the KP regional book of business average claims is in the blue bar. And then you'll see the 2020 year and the 2021 year. So your total claims overall has increased year over year by 5.6%. That's the green line. And the KP regional book of business average claims increased by about 17%, so lower than our book of business average. When we look at the categories of your claims in broad categories, we see the inpatient. PMPM is abbreviated. It stands for per employee per month. So the PMPM cost for inpatient actually decreased year over year by 21.5%. while outpatient costs increased by about 16%. The leading categories in outpatient include services such as mental health, emergency room for both KP and non-KP, lab, and radiology. So in that category, again, about a 16% increase. Pharmacy PMPM cost decreased by 7.7%. We saw strong utilization with generic medications remaining stable around 90%. And then the other category mentioned here on the slide includes items such as ambulance, DME, hearing aids, and vision hardware. And those costs have increased by about 8.6%. On the next slide, we'll look at the overall cost for 2021 and compare it to 2020. This is our information called the medical benefit ratio. It's also known as loss ratio in the industry, where we compare the claims paid versus premiums paid. And I want to direct your attention to the third from the right column, medical benefit ratio, which represents a percentage by month. And then the totals are represented on the gray bar below at 84%. So that's, again, premium versus claims. Now, if we look at where your prior year in 2020, you had the medical benefit ratio of 77%. So the average membership we also see on the right-hand side of the chart, and the average membership did grow slightly year over year, but overall remains pretty stable on the plan. Okay, on the next slide, we're going to dive a little deeper on COVID-19 specific claims. We do get a lot of questions on this, and I won't go line by line through this report, but just overall, the testing costs are represented on the top left-hand side, and you'll see 7.96 PMPM for the total testing cost. And claims next includes both confirmed and probable COVID-19 patients. That would be inpatient and outpatient. And those total costs were $13 PMPM. Overall, the equal distribution between employee, spouse, and dependent is noted in that bar in the pie chart. And when we look at the total numbers of members impacted in 2021 with a COVID-19 diagnosis, we saw 27. And the majority of those claims fall under the $1,000 claims category, with zero members actually over $50,000 in claims. Next, I'll pass it over to Key for a quick overview on our dental and medical integration and dental program updates. Key, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Lillian. I know we're up against the time here, about 5 minutes for your break, so I'll be very mindful and be very quick. So you want to move on to the next slide and the slide after that. Yeah, so what you see here is the medical dental integration. So it's a hallmark for Kaiser Permanente when members have both medical and dental with us. They have our commitment to closing care gaps and make sure that your employees is getting the best oral care, but at the same time be able to address any of the medical needs in the dental office, basic medical needs in the office, just so that we can save them time and keep them healthy. So here is some of your 2021 results. There's quite a bit of data here, but I'll walk us through some of the fantastic results from 2021. So the top left here, you see member, about 52% of your members utilize dental services in 2021. And to your middle, about 30% of those, 37% of those visit happen at co-located facilities. So providing the member the convenience of care, the one-stop shop for them. To the far right, we see 87% of your members. So that's about 1,165 getting dental care. Also receive teeth cleanings. That's slightly higher than our program average of 85%. That just, attests to our model of focusing on care prevention for dental. So the bottom three, these are your group levels, medical dental integration activities. So what we see is that 40% of those members that came in to utilize services had open care gaps. So 40% of these members that had open care gaps received care gap closures of one or more medical care gaps. So that's about 327 members received one or more medical care gap close. So that's a total of 473 care gap close for Clackamas County in 2021. And your example of the top five care gaps are immunization, nurse orders, so that's referred to diabetes, lab tests, cancer screenings, and also exam. And we also, about 56 members also saw our dental nurse and receiving basic medical care, if not vaccinations, as well as care coordination. That's the services that we offer in our dental offices. We have 5 dental nurses throughout the program to provide this service. Go to the next slide. And we focus on diabetes and also smoker cessation as well. And as you can see, 38 of your diabetes member with diabetic diabetes came in and utilized care in 2021. These are a strong focus for us to close the care gap to make sure that they don't have any diabetic emergency. As well, tobacco cessation, 19 of your 68 smokers received tobacco cessation counseling at the dental chair side, and resulted into acceptable referrals for wellness and coaches so they can learn more about quitting smoking. And next slide. And this is your medical dental benefit ratio, similar to medical ratio here. So quickly, your 2021 annual dental benefit ratio at the bottom is 72%. 72.6%. This is just overall, we've done a good job of bringing members back in to get care in the dental program through appointment reminders and access, just so that we can provide the right care for members. So overall, we can see the members are comfortable coming back into the office to get care. And next slide. All right, so we'll end with this. Lillian mentioned that we have a dental update, so I'll be very quick here in the last minute. So this is the technology update for Kaiser Permanente. We want to make sure to provide the best care as well as the experience for our members. So some of the new features available today is FastPass. So FastPass is available for members with a scheduled appointment. They'll receive text or email messages that a sooner appointment is available. Kiosk is available at co-located facility to provide a contactless and e-arrival check-in for our members. KPO.org, so members who have not had Kaiser Permanente Medical in the past now can also sign up on KPO.org and access the full suite online of our features online. And then the dental appointment is a big milestone for Kaiser. So currently, new member can schedule online. But right now, starting this spring, starting this month, April, we're happy to say that the hygiene appointments is also available online for members to schedule through a scheduling ticket, meaning when they are due based on the treatment plan, we'll prompt them that they are due and they can go online and schedule their appointment. So we are rolling that out right now, and we're looking forward to be a fully active program-wide by the end of May. And then lastly, virtual care expansion. So virtual care dental is available today at no cost to our member, at no copay. And it's available for members 24/7, emails and through kpo.org, the mobile app, telephone or video appointments. It's a great way for members to connect with our dental care team for any dental issues or non-urgent issue that they might have. That's very quick. So I'll go back to Lillian here and to see the any questions from the group. But thank you for our time on the dental section.
Thank you, Key. And I wanted to check in with Amy and Jason to see if we need to end right now or if we can have a 5-minute extension.
I know we got started a little bit late. The meeting didn't come up right away, so sorry about that. BRC members, any objection with an additional 5 minutes for Kaiser? I hear none. So, yeah, we'll give you 5 more minutes.
Okay, thank you. Really appreciate that. So just in the last part of our presentation here, is we want to review some low-cost or no-cost solutions to some of these recommendations and ways that we can partner together to make an impact in 2022. So I have some examples of ways that we can offer support. One of the first ones is to really help employees to feel like they're in step with their healthcare and their health team. And some of the employees may still have a hesitation to receiving care in person. We want to facilitate a one-on-one meeting with employees. These are very short sessions with a medical assistant, and they can review their medical record and schedule any care gap appointments. So perhaps they're missing some of those cancer screenings and Dr. DeVino talked about earlier, or scheduling their annual preventive care exams or labs or anything like that. So that's one thing we would like to offer at no additional cost. The next thing that we can do for one-on-one meetings is with our employee benefit engagement team, and they will review medical, dental benefits and answer any questions in a one-on-one meeting with employees. So that is available either in conjunction with open enrollment or just throughout the year as needed. The third one here is we continue to support your Get Connected campaign and really applaud your efforts getting employees the information to both register on kp.org and schedule those preventive care visits. We'll continue to focus on our partnership to offer on-site care flu shot clinics, and those come up in the fall, and we're working with Christy and her team on that. And the next suggestion is to continue to promote mental health resources. We've provided a list in the appendix with a whole list of different things for both employer side and member side. We offer, you know, regular meetings with a mental health expert on our team to review ways that we can support the county, and I look forward to those conversations continuing as well. And then finally, I want to recommend a behind-the-scenes tour. So this would be with our physician ambassador team. We can offer your group, your team, a look behind the scenes at Kaiser Permanente. We can focus on almost any area of care that you're curious about learning more. We're currently offering these experience KP tours virtually, but maybe, well, we're hoping that they do resume toward the end of the year here in person. But please let me know if you're interested in scheduling these. They're usually about an hour and a half long. And like I said, you can get a behind the scenes tour of how we do things differently at Kaiser Permanente. And so with that, I hope to work with you on these initiatives in the year ahead. Thank you, everyone, for making time. Thank you for that additional 5 minutes in the agenda today, and really appreciate everyone attending.
Great. Thanks, Lillian, and thanks for your whole team for the presentation.
Thank you. Please send us any questions that come up later.
Great. Thanks so much. And then, you can go ahead and stop sharing your screen, and then I'll see everybody. Okay. So, Jason, what do you recommend about break now? Do you want to...
So break now would be good, and we can either do a 5-minute or a 10-minute break. BRC members, do you have a preference on that?
Okay, I'm not hearing you.
Yeah, I hear a chiming in the background. Oh, there we go. So that's okay. I mean, we can either do a 5-minute break or we can do a 10-minute break and do the same thing to Providence and let them start a little bit late.
Okay. Does everybody want to do a 5 or a 10-minute break? See hands for 5-minute break. 5-minute break? Okay, and then we'll keep moving forward. Okay, so it's roughly right now it is 2:31, so we'll be back by 2:36 and we'll get going again. Thanks so much.
A quick comment. Any questions that you all have, what we do for many of us are new, forward those emails with all of your questions to Jason, and then he will kind of get those together and get those to the carrier so they can become responsive to those.
Yeah, and I'll give a deadline for that at the end of the meeting as far as when we want those by.
Perfect. Thank you, Jason.
All right. See you in 5 minutes. Okay, I think we are at time. So shall we go ahead and get started with the Providence presentation? Who's leading that for us today? Joe, is that you?
I don't think so. Julie, are you?
Julie. It'll be Julie.
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thanks, Julie. Go ahead.
Great. I was having some audio difficulty, so I apologize.
Okay.
Hopefully you can see me and hear me.
We can't see you, Julie. We can't see anything.
There's a separate one, Keith. There's a one for her phone, and then there's a picture of her. I can see both.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm just showing it as one. Yeah.
Hence my challenges. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen and make sure you can all see it, and we'll just get started.
Great.
All right. Everyone can see that now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to present today. We're excited to be here. I am Julie Zola, and I am a senior account manager on the ASO team working with Clackamas County. And I want to present to you this performance and experience report. It is for the general county, and it's for the previous plan year, 1-1 of 21 to 12-31 of 21. This is our table of contents. It's just the sections that we're going to go through as we progress through the presentation. And our presenters will be Dr. Laurel Soot, Assistant Vice President, Medical Management, Heidi Chinwuba, our Clinical Pharmacy Director, and Megan Thompson, our Health Management Consultant. This is really just an overview about Providence Health Plan. Some notable things: we have been in the West for almost 170 years. We established in Oregon as a health plan in 85, and we've become the largest provider in Oregon. We're rated the highest PPO health plan in Oregon, and we're proud of that. And we have a very accomplished account management team to serve you, as well as many operational folks who are working hard to provide the programs that we're going to talk about today. This is just a high-level overview of what we're going to talk about today. I won't read each and every bullet, but the notable things that we noticed as we went through the data was that medical expenses were stable, which is obviously a good thing. We want to talk about encouraging increased use of the behavioral health services and diabetes programs. And again, we'll go into those in more detail. We want to encourage COVID vaccines and boosters because we did notice that the highest COVID infection claims were in unvaccinated members. And then finally, we want to encourage screening and wellness visits with a real emphasis on telehealth. It continues to be a robust option for members. So it provides a lot of accessibility in terms of primary care providers, specialty, and behavioral health providers. And our top focus areas for this presentation are going to be behavioral health, diabetes and weight management, musculoskeletal pain and management, and COVID-19. So with that, I am going to pass it on to Megan, who is going to speak about member engagement.
Thanks, Julie. Hi, everyone. I'm Megan Thompson, and I work on the health and wellness team here at Providence. So today, I'll be providing insights on member engagement on our health and well-being program. So just one thing to note before I present my data, we do have some limitations on the member engagement side. So this data reflects Clackamas County's total population and not just the general county. But once Dr. Soot and Heidi go through their content, that will all be specific to the general county. Okay, so Julie, next slide. Right, so starting out with chronic conditions, taking a step back, looking at the state of the industry. So we know that 60% of Americans live with one or more chronic conditions, and these individuals account for nearly 90% of healthcare costs. So when left unchecked or unmanaged, these conditions can have serious impacts. So it can result in serious illness, hospitalization, and even death. So looking at the right, how does Clackamas County kind of compare to the national average? What we see here on the bottom, 72% of your members have at least one chronic or behavioral health condition, and these members drive 95% of your costs. So a couple of the blue sections to call out. So that chronic and stable percent. So a large percent are managing their condition, 41%. But the piece here I really want to talk about today is the chronic and at-risk population. So these are your members that have one or more chronic condition, and they've either had an inpatient or emergency room visit in the past year, or they have a clinically important gap in care. So these are the members that are really going to benefit from our case and disease management programs. This is about 850 of your members. And then if you look at the bottom left here, you see that only 66 members participated in one of our case and disease management programs last year. So significant opportunity to promote these programs. Of course, our teams are doing outbound outreach as well to encourage engagement in these programs, but certainly an opportunity to market them to your members as well. So on the bottom right, prevalence of common conditions. This is just highlighting the number of people within your population that have some common conditions, such as hypertension, COPD, asthma, diabetes, and behavioral health. And then the percentage of those members that were participating in one of our care management programs. Okay, Julie, next slide. So before I jump into the behavioral health concierge program outcomes, I just want to take a step back and talk about all of the programs that are available to members across the behavioral health continuum, because we've really put a focus on this in the past year and continue to do so this year. So from, you know, the low acuity to the high severity spectrum, we really offer a variety of solutions and services. So we have health education articles and webinars. We have discounts on massage therapy, yoga, meditation apps. We have stress management, health coaching. We have digital self-guided CBT, cognitive behavior therapy programs. We have virtual care like our behavioral health concierge. We have a broad network of providers. We have behavioral health care management. And then we have 24/7 crisis care. And it goes into detail a little bit more in the appendix of these, so you can read more about the programs there. But again, if there are any questions about any specific program, I can talk about them at the end of this presentation. I know that Clackamas County was also particularly interested in what our youth initiatives were around behavioral health. So a lot of these programs that I just mentioned are available to youth. But we also have a couple things in the pipeline. So we're working to expand in-network providers in a couple of digital solutions. And this includes Hazel, which is, you can meet with a provider at school or at home. Charlie Health, which is a CBT cognitive behavioral therapy app. Helps youth recognize maladaptive coping mechanisms and introduce new skills. And the EQIP is our eating disorder digital care program for families. And then on the Providence side, we have a digital wellness program that really just focuses on teen mental health, and that has curriculum for schools or communities and a bunch of different resources. So again, more of information about that in the appendix. But back to the slide, so behavioral health concierge program. So this program really helps improve access to behavioral health care. So we save appointments, same and next day appointments for members who are interested in meeting with a virtual provider, and these are all Providence providers. And you see that here on the right, so this is our book of business. 63% of members meet with a provider within 7 days. And the metric, it mentions here the GAD-7 metric for anxiety, but I think what is a little bit more relatable to people is that 68% of people improve symptoms of anxiety and 71% of patients improve symptoms of depression. So really great clinical outcomes we're seeing in the program. And people are really proud and appreciative of the program with a 79 net promoter score. When we're looking here at the bottom left, we see that Clackamas County members only utilized the service 7 times last year. So typically a patient will use BHC for about 4 or 5 times over the course of the year. So that would be, you know, just a few members are using the program. So again, certainly an opportunity to promote this. They offer webinars. They're happy to, you know, connect and do some custom campaigns with Clackamas County to promote this service. All right, next slide. So here I'm going to turn over to Dr. Soot just to talk a little bit more about the medical claims that we saw in behavioral health in 2021.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. And normally this is sort of tucked into the medical management, but because Providence really has put so much emphasis on behavioral health over the last year, our concern, as you pointed out, with the youth overall, just all of the worldly things that are happening and local things, I wanted to put it in here to really drive home the message that Megan said. You have members with behavioral health issues. We have resources to help. We don't see that they're utilizing them, so we would love to work together this year to really see what we can do to move that needle to get these members care. On the left-hand side, you can see the percent plan paid by level of care. Current plan paid was just a little under $1 million for services for behavioral health. And they're fairly similar to the prior year. We did see an increase prior year of inpatient, decrease this year, but again, a couple of members, and that can really sway those percentage numbers or a longer stay. More so on the right-hand side is your members by diagnosis, and you can see it's a wide range of behavioral health diagnoses that include even chemical dependency. And then the one on the bottom, I think, is really critical, and this is the at-risk member. This is not one that, say, has ADHD, that's done some cognitive behavioral therapy, is stable on medication. These are members with greater than one behavioral health diagnoses, and we know that that's an at-risk group. And it also plays into how well they're accessing care from a medical standpoint. So these go hand in hand with other chronic conditions that they may not be able to manage well because of their behavioral health diagnoses. So again, a huge focus for Providence this year, and we would love to partner with you and see what we can do to assure that they're getting the resources that they need at the time and the place that they need them. So back over to Megan.
Thanks, Dr. Soot. So switching gears into one of the other topic areas that Julie mentioned is really around diabetes prevention and weight management. So we offer a year-long program designed to prevent type 2 diabetes and promote moderate weight loss. So this is bottled off of the CDC, so Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, their DPP curriculum. And this program is really powerful because it can reduce a member's risk of developing type 2 diabetes by 58%. And so we know that from a national perspective, 1 in 3 Americans have pre-diabetes. And these members who develop diabetes have over 2 times the healthcare expenses of those without diabetes. So some significant healthcare cost savings that can occur when members participate in these programs. So when you look at the bottom left, we see that no members enrolled in the program last year, but we've had 7 participants over the past 3 years. And so we can't provide any outcomes specific to Clackamas County, but right, if you know, 1 in 3 Americans have prediabetes, and we see that 7 over the past 3 years have only participated in the program, so a significant opportunity to really encourage, again, all of the diabetes prevention and weight management programs that are available to members. But just some highlights of the clinical engagement and satisfaction outcomes of the program on the right. So 86% of members lose weight. More than half are attaining the 150 minutes of physical activity. Members are really engaged, 15 sessions over the course of the year, and a 90% satisfaction rate. All right, Julie, next slide. So the last slide I have to talk about today is our health coaching program. So kind of thinking, right, like I started talking about chronic conditions and then I moved into diabetes prevention, and now I'm moving upstream again into like the preventive section. So health coaching. So looking at engagement in the program, so 4 new members enrolled in health coaching in 2021. So these are members that are interested in moving more, increasing their fruit and veggie consumption, or just, you know, better healthy eating habits, getting more sleep, working on stress management. So 4 new members in 2021 and a total of 21 members over the course of the past 3 years. So the clinical and engagement outcomes are specific to Clackamas County here on the right. So we see 92% of participants made a clinical improvement. So these are this data is limited to members that participated in at least 3 sessions. But really, really wonderful outcomes in physical activity, nutrition, and weight. And we see that members are really engaged in the program. So 86% of members completed 3 or more sessions. So really finding value in the program. And our health coaching team offers webinars and podcasts. They do a lot of like wellness materials and health education on their website. And again, we're happy to partner to do any custom campaigns to really promote all of the health and well-being programs that we offer. And certainly encourage you to continue to promote these programs as well. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Soot to talk through more of your medical claims.
Perfect. Thank you. So this is the medical cost and utilization. As we spoke to you in the summary, your plan paid per member per month was very stable. So only up 0.3% from your prior year. You still are above benchmark, and I believe a lot of that, we have a lot of data in the appendix, again, for any questions, but a lot of that goes into that chronic condition issue that Megan was talking about. So you have a very high percentage of your membership with chronic conditions, and some of which are inactive and not fully controlled. As you recall, you had 23% of your members who were healthy. I believe that those members are probably the membership that's not using your benefit much. So as you can see, you've got 22% of your population that did not use a medical benefit. And on the bottom right, that is your younger cohort. Now, we know if we don't get them into a primary care doctor, have them checked, do their wellness exams, not only are they now looking for medical, but they're also looking for behavioral health, that membership may have pre-diabetes. They may be having some psychological issues that can be addressed early on. There may be some weight management that can happen. So, again, always with healthy, I'm a little concerned if it's just because we don't have a claim in 1 year. Next slide. So here's your COVID diagnosis and treatment. Unfortunately, it seems like right now we're sort of on the tail end of this. We honestly don't know what's going to happen in regards to variants. We don't know what's going to happen in regards to boosters. But right now I can say that the plan paid a little over $600,000 for COVID-related costs. As you can see on the right, testing was $146,000, and then on the bottom, $109,000 for the vaccine, with greater costs in the spend for those with COVID infection. Your COVID testing was right at benchmark, with about 30% of your members being tested, 3% with the actual diagnosis of COVID, and then really nice immunization rates. So overall, your group looks very good in regards to the fully vaccinated rate. Next slide. And here's just a little bit more of a breakdown, and again, a visual of why we are encouraging vaccination. So on the left-hand side, the green are the costs for COVID by your fully vaccinated population. The gray are for those who were partially or unvaccinated at the time. So again, you can see that those are the costs that are going to be generated. On the right-hand side, because we know that there was a rollout, so this was the year in which the vaccine was rolling out, there were certain age groups that were qualified, we then wanted to go back and see, are they currently vaccinated now? Wanting to ensure that, okay, they had COVID, maybe they're now vaccinated. And what you can see is that we didn't find that that was the case for all of these. That the highest one is no longer a member with Clackamas, but you can see that 3 out of the remaining 9 are currently vaccinated. We have no evidence that the others have been vaccinated at this time. So next step, or next slide. So again, just a little bit more on COVID immunization rates opposed to benchmark. Clackamas is doing really well. Again, continue to encourage that. And then just another slide deck if you really wanted to dial into your costs for COVID-related infection opposed to benchmark. And you can see that testing was slightly lower, inpatient was higher, as was the outpatient and the professional. So a couple people with COVID that were probably just a little sicker than that, the average COVID member that we've had. Next slide, please. So where are we preventative care, wellness, and screening? We're seeing a nice little uptick from this year compared to last year. We know that wellness and screening significantly went down during the COVID crisis with the closure of multiple offices. People really just did not come in and get screening. So we are really, really promoting all of the age groups to ensure that they're getting their wellness visit, that they are getting their testing. A lot of these people really haven't sought much medical care unless they were acutely ill over the last 1 to 2 years. So again, that concerns us in regards to cancer diagnoses being delayed, delay of diagnoses of diabetes, pre-diabetes, weight issues, substance abuse is definitely increased over the last 2 years, and then the behavioral health, which really is part of all PCP wellness visits now, including pediatrics. So next slide. And here's where we are, you know, speaking of routine immunizations, unfortunately, we can see that these have really come down. So this is another reason to promote these wellness exams, routine immunizations that can be done in the pharmacy. So as all the focus was on COVID, you know, we still need to get the flu. We still need people to get their MMRs and their tetanus and shingles vaccine and all those other things to prevent diseases in which, you know, can have some significant outcomes. Next slide. And again, as Megan spoke to, this does not always need to be done inpatient. With the public health emergency, the government really decreased a lot of the, we would say, sort of red tape around the use of telehealth and a lot of restrictions. There's no evidence at this time that they're going to turn the clock back. This has really become a wonderful way to meet with your primary care doctor, even specialty health and behavioral health. So again, just encouraging our membership to interface with their providers at the level that they feel comfortable. Next slide. And so I'm going to turn it over now to Heidi.
Thank you, Dr. Soot, and good afternoon, everyone. We are cruising right along, so I'm happy to be here this afternoon to talk with you about your cost and utilization trends as it relates to your medications, and walk you through probably more data than you wanted to hear about as it relates to medications. So feel free to stop me at any time if you have questions. I know sometimes this can get a little meaty when we talk about, you know, drug names and whatnot, so feel free to interrupt me if needed. We'll start by just a high-level overview of your cost and use by drug type. And starting in the upper left-hand corner, this is looking at your total costs on a per-member per-month basis and breaking it up into a few different categories. So let me just orient you to that. So we have costs before your rebates that you receive for your medications are applied, as well as after the rebates. In today's day and age, we see rebates approaching almost 30% of your drug costs. So we want to be really transparent in showing you the effect of those, and that you get all of those rebates passed back to you, because that's a significant amount of cost that's coming back in the form of a rebate. So it's nice to see both numbers. We compare then pre and post rebate numbers to benchmark, and then we further break the per member per month costs into two categories. So the darker blue bars on the bottom are what we call non-specialty drugs. Those are those medications which are used to treat chronic conditions such as, you know, depression, anxiety, hypertension, high cholesterol, those types of things. And then this class of specialty medications, which you may or may not be familiar with, but those are our more unique, smaller population of patients taking these medications for conditions like cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, psoriasis. And those medications cost on average around $6,000 a month. So these are high-cost medications, often injectable, but not always, but usually that are dispensed through a special pharmacy channel and often require special handling. And that's really where we're seeing a lot of the costs come in, and we'll get into some of that. So all that being said, your per member per month costs last year were around $75 after rebates, and this year took a jump up to $83. So if we move over to the right and we look at that as a percentage, that was in around an 11% trend. However, COVID vaccines were a big part of that, as Dr. Soot just talked about. We did a good job getting your population vaccinated, so we like to look at the cost with and without the vaccine. The cost per member per month for the vaccine administered through a pharmacy, where you paid not for the vaccine, but the administration fee that was paid to the pharmacy for that, was about $1.80. So that decreases the trend a little bit by about 2.5%. When we compare all of that to benchmark, you're really, even though you had a large increase from last year to this year, you're still right in line with the benchmark for the rest of our business, which is around $82 per member per month for your medication costs. When we look at your utilization trend over on the far right, this is where there are more medications taken by your population. There actually wasn't. So again, when we take out those COVID vaccines, by and large, utilization went down a little bit, negative 2%. So less medications in general being used. When we look at generic utilization rate, which is a good barometer for, are we getting patients on the most efficacious and also most cost-effective medications? We see your generic utilization around 86%. I will say that COVID vaccines, because they're branded products, everyone took a hit of about 5% on their generic utilization rate. If you've been with the board in the past and have seen these numbers, we usually run around 90-91%. But putting those COVID vaccines brand in, which is fabulous, just sort of tanked our generic utilization rate. So we're sort of, we know that, we acknowledge that, and we'll see that hopefully come up in future years. When we move into the far right, we look at 90-day utilization. So this is broken into two different sections, either getting 90-day medications at retail or 90-day medications at mail order. We like to look at this because having a 90-day supply in hand is a great opportunity to increase adherence. It's more convenient for people to only have to go to the pharmacy or get their medication mailed to them. So we see that you're a little slightly below our benchmark when it comes to overall 90-day utilization, and quite a bit below the benchmark as far as mail order. I will say, though, within the benchmark, we have some groups that have a mandatory mail order design, which makes the mail order utilization higher in the benchmark. But costs to you as a payer are less via the mail order channel as well. So, if you ever wanted to consider something to drive people to mail order, an incentive or some type of mandatory program, we could work with you on that. It would result in some cost savings. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. So this is kind of looking at the same information, just in a slightly different view over the past 4 years, where you see that actually in 2018, which I think, I remember presenting to the board that year, it was a really, I think there was like a 20% increase in cost that year. We had five people who had started a new chemo medication that was really expensive, and then that kind of stopped for a few years, and that's actually the story that's coming back again this year. It's the same medication that has been started by a member on the plan that's kind of made that cost bounce back up again. But by and large, fairly stable over the last 4 years, just bouncing around a bit. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Here we're just breaking down what were the differences that, or what were the specific factors that drove the trend. So on the left, we have the numbers that include COVID vaccine, on the right without. What we're looking at is what was the per member per month in 2020, and what was it there at the end in the gray bar in 2021, and then was it the use of medications that drove the trend, or was it the unit cost? By and large, we see that it's the unit cost. We kind of already reviewed that utilization was flat or negative. So when we talk about unit cost, that means either the mix of the medications that was used were more expensive, or there was the medications that patients were using took an increase in price due to inflation and other things. Usually it's a combination of both, and we'll get into that a little bit more in the next slides. So this is same information in the same way, just breaking it down again into those specialty and non-specialty buckets, so we can really hone in on where the differences are occurring. If we move now to the middle, we see that if we look just at the specialty drug medications, $12 of that $14 increase is just in the specialty bucket. And which we'll see on the next slide, if we isolate it even further, it's really just three people on two different medications which are driving that trend. Your non-specialty trend, which again is mostly things like diabetes, asthma, depression, anxiety, more chronic conditions, was really quite flat. A little bit of an increase in the unit cost is evidenced by the blue bar, and that's due again to mostly a mix of diabetes medications, which we'll get to slightly or in a moment. So a little bit more on these specialty medications that had the $12 increase. So when we look over time, I like to look at the number of unique members. It's a really small population, percentage of your population that takes these medications, as you can see here, around 1.6%. It's less than 1% of all of your prescriptions, but it's over half, about 54% of your total costs. So when we look at the specific categories or conditions for which these medications treat, again, I know these drug categories might mean nothing, so I'll walk through them with you. The first is medications like Humira and Enbrel. You probably see those on the news. Those are most often used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, and other kind of conditions. The second category is usually medications used to treat psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis, which is a manifestation of more severe psoriasis. The third category is a cancer category. So there's oral therapies that treat cancer in lieu of chemotherapy in some conditions. Number four is for multiple sclerosis. And then the fifth category is an injectable agent that's used to treat more severe conditions of dermatitis as well as more severe conditions of asthma. So again, these top five categories of medications, and there's a few more on your top specialty, but this is most of them, really driving most of your cost. And really, it's just one specific member. I moved to the top 10 drugs by cost to the appendix for you to look at later because I thought we were going to run out of time. But there's one patient on the cancer medication. It's about $280,000 annually for that therapy. Last year, that member only had, or in 2020, that member only had two fills of that medication. They had just started. And then last year, with a full year of treatment, it was, you know, $250,000. So that's what drove most of your trend in 2021, was that one medication alone. So moving on to, but there's some good news about that medication that I'll get to in a minute. So moving on to non-specialty medications. This is where we're going to focus a little bit on diabetes as a, you know, tying back to the getting more members involved in the diabetes prevention program or health coaching or any of our programs that can help focus on those important lifestyle interventions like, you know, weight loss and nutrition and sleep and all of those things that help us with chronic condition management. You see that the top, actually three of the top five, number one, number two, number five, of your non-specialty categories of medication are to treat type 2 diabetes, primarily insulin treats type 1, but by and large, it's probably mostly type 2. So we have a newer sort of, we have a toolkit of more branded medications used to treat type 2 diabetes that are driving the cost up somewhat, but we also see better long-term outcomes with those medications. So not only do they help lower blood sugar, which is of course fantastic, but they actually help in patients who might have also existing cardiovascular disease or kidney disease or heart failure. We're seeing that those medications help long-term in helping prevent heart attacks, hospitalization, and more serious side effects from diabetes. So it's great to see that we're getting more patients on this evidence-based therapy, but it does add to the cost a little bit. So a majority of the increase in your cost here from $49 to $52 is from a shift to those newer diabetes agents that have better evidence of efficacy. Rounding out then the top five is ADHD therapy, so stimulants, which are often used in children and then also adults to help with attention and alertness during during the day, and then the COVID vaccine rounding out the top five. So next slide, number looks at the top 10 medications, and just drilling a little further into that, seeing really the prevalence of the diabetes medications in the top 10. So there's 1, 2, 3, should have counted this ahead of time, five or six of the top 10 are for diabetes. Again, the others for ADHD, and then some mental health medications in here as well. So I wanted to just, I think there was a specific question, or wanted to talk a little bit about newer options for testing for diabetes control and treatment. So there are newer products available called continuous glucose monitors that are marketed to be a nice option for patients, originally kind of designed for patients who are on pretty intense insulin regimens and needed to test multiple times per day as the fingerless solution, which everyone, you know, people who have diabetes, it's just, you know, painful, and your fingers get so calloused from checking your blood sugar so many times. So we've got some great technology there that is really showing improvements, not only in adherence to medications, but also adherence to, you know, some lifestyle interventions, since you're able to check your blood sugar more often and see the effect maybe of your lower carb meal or the walk you just took on your blood sugar. So we have two products that are available, the Freestyle Libre and the Dexcom G6. These are both available via the pharmacy. You don't have to get them from a special supplier. They're just a little insert that you put usually on your arm or your abdomen or wherever you want to put it. And then you there's a sensor that you can just scan, and it'll check your blood sugar on demand. We do have a prior authorization on these currently, although we are continuously sort of loosening the criteria as there's more evidence of benefit in these, even in patients who aren't on insulin. So I think we'll see continued growth and use of these. This slide might be a little outdated. They says there's no significant benefit from in people who aren't on insulin or injectable therapy from testing that frequently. But again, it can be helpful when you're altering your diet, exercising. If you're actively modifying some of your oral medications, they can be helpful. So again, I think we'll see expanded use for those, but right now they're reserved for patients on insulin who are making dose adjustments. Wanted to talk next a little bit about class of medications called biosimilars. So you may have heard about these as well. If we think of generics as the counterparts to traditional branded medications, biosimilars can be thought of as sort of the generics for the specialty medications. And we're excited for 2023 because we expect several new biosimilars for Humira, which is the number one cost medication for your plan and most all of our other plans and everyone across the country. It's the number one selling drug in the world. After several years of legal fights and patent litigation, we finally expect to have multiple biosimilars for Humira in 2023. It will be a slow rollout. We'll get one in January and then several more mid-year, which is really when we'll see some price competition available, and we expect to see some pretty good price decreases. So hopefully next year when we're back to present to you, we will not see Humira as your number. Well, for this year, we will see it for number one. But the year after that, when we come back, it'll drop down. And hopefully we'll see some, maybe even negative trends on specialty, we'll see. Remicade, this is a medical benefit drug. I don't think you had anyone on it, but we do have the biosimilar now in place for Remicade, as well as several of our oncology medications for which there are biosimilars available, both oral medications on the pharmacy benefit, as well as some of the infusions on the medical benefit for cancer. We're now using those preferentially. And then Revlimid, which remember I told you was the one patient, $280,000 a year. There is a generic available for that now. However, the price, it's the same as the brand. There are some legalities around only being able to have so much of that generic available. And there's some availability concerns with that. So we probably won't see price relief for Revlimid until 2023. But it is coming. And for your plan, for which you bounce between, you know, 1 to 2 to 5 patients on that drug, that will be impactful for you from a cost perspective in the next few years as well. All right, next slide here. I wanted to talk about a new program that we're offering for 2023. This is an optional program that helps leverage and optimize the available coupon dollars that are available for specialty medications specifically. So right now, nearly probably 90% of your patients who are on a specialty medication, there are specialty pharmacies, they enroll them in a coupon program. But the amount of coupon that's actually used is limited by the benefit design. So you're only capturing however much that the copay is for that specialty drug. So what this program actually does is it says, okay, there's $12,000 available per year for Humira. We're going to say that's $1,000 a month. And we're going to make the member's copay artificially $1,000, and the coupon's going to capture all of that. What happens then is the plan paid goes down quite significantly because we've increased the member copay to capture more of the coupon dollars. So we see that you can save between 10 to 15% of your specialty drug costs with this program, depending on the medications and who is in which plan. You can save your plan between $250,000 to $400,000 is what we've estimated. So we're just rolling this out, and we'd be happy to come back and talk to you more about that at a later date as we finalize the details on this. But for the one plan we've piloted in the first 3 weeks, it's been fantastic in saving the plan money. Keith, I see you had a question. Let me see if I can get all my technology to work.
Let me just ask it. Would that be easier?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I don't want to steal your thunder. You may be getting to it, but are there any programs coming on board or that's already in existence, cost containment strategies in place for the gene therapy drugs like Zolgensma, Luxturna, and the other ones coming to market?
That's a great question. Thank you for bringing that up. So for these gene therapy drugs, we are in talks now with our delivery system and our various institutes around putting together a clinical and financial contracting value-based care, and all goes together, a program to address this. So yes, something will be coming. I don't have anything firm on that today. But we've looked at all the things of risk pooling, amortization, all the various options out there, per member, per month, installment payments, all the various options. So I think we'll have something. I don't have anything for you yet, but that's definitely on our mind as we get to, I think we expect 3 approvals in 2022 for gene therapy, and then next year it's going to go crazy. So we'll have.
So Heidi, with the connection to Cigna, I don't know if this will translate. They have the EMBARK program, so I don't know if you guys are looking at that.
We've looked at it. Yeah, we have looked at it in the past.
Okay.
So we have a few other ones.
Okay.
So more to come on that. Thanks for asking the question, Keith.
Thank you.
And I just have one last slide, and this is talking a bit about a new technology solution we put in place a few years ago. So this is called the Real-Time Benefit Tool. This is a tool that interacts with the electronic health record at the provider offices, and nearly all of our major provider groups in the Willamette Valley and the Portland metropolitan area are using this tool with us. And so we feed formulary and benefits information through our claims processing system directly into their electronic system. And when they go to prescribe a medication, if it's not on formulary or if it requires a PA or if there's a lower cost option available, the system will pull up a screen for them that kind of directs them to the next best agent. So we'll say, hey, this diabetes medication is non-preferred. Here's our preferred product. Would you like to change? Yes. Or it requires a PA. Would you like to start a PA? Yes. And it kind of walks them through all of that. And so this is data specific to Clackamas County. There have been how many? I have to hover over this here. About 4,500 requests put in by physicians for your employees, and about 38% of those have resulted in a change that resulted in a savings. And that savings is about $9,500. So pretty good adoption. providers get so many messages in the electronic health record, they sort of get fatigued from all of that. So we are continuing to work with them and their workflows and making sure that the information we provide them is really actionable, that it's going to mean it has a significant dollar amount savings to it. You can see for your group specifically the top five medications for which a change has triggered and resulted in a change. Oral contraceptives, migraine preparations, eardrops, eye agents, and then some other random things. So any questions about that? That's actually the last slide of what we have for you today. So thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I'll ask if there's any, and maybe we move on to Julie's, or we take questions. I think we have.
I have a couple of two more slides, and then yes, we can jump into questions or more information. So I'm just summarizing what you heard from all of the data above. So thank you for everyone who presented all of this good information. So none of this will be much of a surprise. I decided to list opportunities for Clackamas County and then recommendations. And Megan spoke to a lot of this. All of our presenters did. So a behavioral health concierge program, it is currently available to members and dependents in the states listed here. What's really great about the program is it's virtual same day or next day access. And so that's obviously really important these days. And so the next one, diabetes prevention and weight management programs currently available. Again, Megan referenced those, and there's more in the appendix on health coaching and healthy eating and active lifestyle. And then Kaya Health Pain Management Program. This one is currently not in place for Clackamas County, but it's available. And we can, you know, set up a different meeting to talk a little bit more about it. But it really is a pretty effective program. We do have another client using it right now, and they're having a lot of success. And it is a digital-based program that targets chronic musculoskeletal pain, and members can do it on their cell phone, on a tablet, and it's really kind of self-guided, but we've seen very good results. So that's something we can talk a little bit more about. And then really, these slides just complement each other to leverage the resources we have to address those top conditions that we've discussed in past past slides, and where we can help you realize cost savings. Again, we're suggesting that we find ways to increase involvement with the behavioral health concierge and address those key issues that we saw around stress management, anxiety, and depression. We do have a new program called Learn to Live that was just launched. We're excited about it. I provided a link to it and an access code so you can check it out if you'd like. But it is a self-guided cognitive behavioral therapy program. And again, focuses on those diagnoses we saw, stress, anxiety, depression. So we can share more about that if you're interested. We talked about the well-being programs and how do we increase engagement. As we saw, the numbers were low, so is there some more opportunity there? And then, again, talking about Kaya Health and how that might be an opportunity for Clackamas County and its members. And then finally, engaging on the COVID vaccination education as appropriate for this group. And one more thing I did want to add is that we are working with the Sheriff's Office on a first responder initiative to address unique and immediate behavioral health needs. And so that's underway. It's not yet been finalized or implemented, but our behavioral health team is working hard to actually develop the program, and we'll continue to work with the Sheriff's Office. To roll something out in the near future. So that's another project that's underway, and I just wanted to mention that. And with that, I think that takes us through the end of our presentation, and we appreciate the time and the ability to share with you all of that great information, and we're happy to entertain questions.
Chris has her hand raised.
I just had a quick question to Heidi. I was curious, on the 90-day prescriptions, I believe you have to have your doctor write the prescription for the 90-day supply, but how do you go about having the mail order prescription process taken care of?
So you can, the pharmacy can actually, if you have enough fills available, they can consolidate into 90 days now if you ask. They don't have to ask for a 90-day supply anymore. They used to, but that law changed a few days ago. So similar as your provider would send the prescription to, let's say, Fred Meyer, they can send the prescription also to Costco or PPS, which is Postal Prescription Services. It's Fred Meyer's mail order pharmacy. They can just prescribe to either of those two, and it will, they'll get it all settled for you. I can send you information via our directory. You have to create accounts, of course. Honestly, I find it easier to just call. They're both super helpful, and they, honestly, I'll call one day for a refill and it'll be in my mailbox the next day, because at least PPS is in Portland, so you get your medication super quick. Costco, I think, is up in up there in Kirkland, so it might take a couple days, but same process, just have the physician send it to the mail order pharmacy.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have someone turn off share screen also. Let's see. So we can lose that slide. Is that something we can do?
So, Amy, I don't know.
There we go.
Others here. But, oh, okay, there we go.
So I have another question if nobody else that has any.
Go for it.
So on the behavioral health visits and all of that, so if you get signed up for programs like that, is it just where you like get into the process and there's a team that like refers you to a specific doctor, or how does all of that work? And
yeah,
I don't know if I'm asking the question right, but
I think I follow. So there is referral protocols in place between all of our programs. So say a member who has more severe needs calls into our health coaching program, they're going to refer them over to care management or help them find a clinician or a counselor. If someone is in the behavioral health concierge program and they can't get into a provider immediately, they're going to continue working with the BHC team until they can get in to visit with a provider. So there are definitely protocols in place, and help, and our customer service team is always available to help navigate the different programs and services that are available to.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And so for case and disease management programs then, do you pay co-pays to talk to somebody, or is it only when you get into like a specific, doctor that's helping you kind of deal with your situation?
Yeah, so all of the member engagement programs, so like case and disease management, health coaching, that's all included as part of the benefit plan. So there's no fee. It would only be if you went in, like maybe had a virtual visit or an in-person visit with a clinician is where you would see some of those co-pays come into play. The behavioral health concierge program is free unless you're on an HSA plan. So there is a fee for, it's a one-time fee for the entire program contract if you have an HSA plan, but otherwise all other members, it's included as part of the benefit plan.
Okay, thank you, that helps.
Yeah, great.
Good questions.
Well, if nobody else has any others, I do have one quick one, and this might be more of a Stacy question. Stacy, I know you're here. So, we have the Providence dependent out of area coverage for our plans, because we are self-insured and Providence has this contract. Another network for us to have a national network of providers. It's pretty easy for anybody that's out of area to find an in-network provider. And I think Stacy, you might have been the one I even asked about this. Is there any reason, since we have this national network of providers already for both the Providence personal and open option plans that we have, is there any reason for us to keep that out of area coverage as an additional rider or whatever you want to call it?
Hi, thank you. No, there wouldn't be. There's actually no membership under the out-of-area plans right now. I think that was back when the county was fully insured. They had to have an out-of-area plan to cover people outside of Oregon. However, we do have the Cigna network that we use outside of Oregon. So, I mean, we can find providers in all 50 states for your members, too.
Yeah, Cigna, that's the name I was trying to remember. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Great. Okay, well, we're at 3:32, so any last-minute questions before we close out the meeting for today?
I had one thing that I forgot to mention, if I can. I think it's cool. So as it relates to COVID testing, you can now get, you can get the 8 COVID tests a month under your plan. If you just go to any pharmacy and give them your card, they will process them for you, and you can walk out with 8 COVID tests a month. So it's a great just to have those on hand. I know my family has used them a lot when traveling or having family and friends come. So spread the word. Let people know they can use their card and their benefits to go get those. Costco, I think you can actually get 10. I think they're throwing a few bonus ones in there. Fred Meyer, Walgreens, all the major pharmacies will process them. So
they'll bill.
You can use the form. If you had to pay cash out of pocket, there's a form you can mail in to get reimbursed. But if you just give them your card, they'll run them through your insurance.
Perfect. So they'll bill Providence basically for it rather than having you pay for it first.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Thanks for mentioning it, Heidi. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you to all of our presenters today. And thank you to all of you who were here at the meeting. And we look forward to seeing you, some of you again next month.
And for
thank you.
For those of you that have any additional questions for either of the providers, please be sure to send those to me. You can email them to me. Let's have a due date of May 5th. I don't want to have it too far out to where people just forget about it. Get it to me by May 5th. I'll get that over to Mercer so they can work with the providers to get those questions answered.
Great. Thank you, Jason. Okay, questions stand by May 5th. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good evening. Thank you. Bye.
Mercer, if you want to hang on a bit.